Donnie spoke this morning about the resurrection and a lot of things that applied to what the world recognized and celebrated today for. I think we'd all agree, if we think about it, in today's society we have a day for everything, don't we? A special day. We've got days for Groundhog Days. We've got days for just about everything that we've set aside and we recognize. And man likes these special days to celebrate. It's something that's special to him, and he puts on the pomp and the circumstance. And it's one reason that I had Ethan read Galatians 4:10, because in my study, it came in my mind that Paul used these observing days and months and seasons. He was warning these Galatians about, after having known God, putting this weight and this special weight into these occasions and these days and these celebrations, of which they were in a new covenant and a new time. And it just brought those things to my mind about his warning of them, of observing days and months and seasons. This morning, of course, society recognizes today as Easter. Across the nation, you'll see churches packed and everybody recognizing this as a day of celebration for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when you get to looking at God's Word, you see very little about special days. That's kind of where I'd like to go tonight with that. I'd like to talk about special days, but I'd like to talk more about looking at two special days. Because, like I said, following the Mosaic Law, our special days that God gives us to celebrate is very limited. I read a quotation from a book, Seventh-day Adventist, on page 19, that said this. Now, this is from the Seventh-day Adventist. I want to make that clear. This is not from the Bible or anything else. This is one of their quotes. It says, "Jesus did not change the Sabbath. Neither the disciples of Christ nor the early Christian churches ever heard of such a thing as a divine change in Sabbath observance. Hence, the observance of any other day than the seventh as the Sabbath is unknown in the New Testament. Sunday observance by Christian believers is of later origin than the times of the Bible." Now, that comes from the Seventh-day Adventist. And someone who's not studied this question or is not familiar with God's Word has a hard time with that, has a hard time contemplating that and refuting a comment that like that. It would create, I think we'd agree, quite a challenge to have to defend that. What it's advocating, the way that's spoken, is that the Sabbath was given by God to all men for all times. And we know when we look at God's Word that there is absolutely no foundation for that whatsoever. It implies that's never been changed. The Sabbath has never been changed. Those who would worship on another day, such as we do on the first day of the week, would be someone who would be involved in wrongdoing. So, to try to deal with this question, let's look at a couple of special days. A couple of special days that we know, and get those straight in our mind. And I'd like to finish up with this special day that we now have and how it ties in to today and our observance of what God has given us. Two special days according to God. The Bible tells us, we've reminded ourselves before, of three different systems or times. It's critical to know or to remember that the Old Testament wasn't penned until around 1500 B.C. when Moses wrote the first of the Bible, the first five books. If you do the math, that leaves a lot of time before that, but there was no written word that we know of that's given as far as we know. Hundreds of years, it wasn't given to anyone. And it also becomes apparent when you get to studying from the Bible that the Gentile world, which would be in contrast to the Jewish world, was never given a written revelation, as far as we know, even down to the time of Christ. We remember that God seemed to dwell with men then through the patriarchs. He spoke to those fathers, and that's the way that things were done before that. Adam, Noah, Abraham, they were all fathers that were under this patriarchal system of worship. Romans 12, go to Romans 2:12. We see here, Apostle Paul stated that those before were judged by a law that was, he says, written in the heart. Look at Romans 2:12-16. It says, "For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who did not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and being themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when Jesus will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to the gospel." So we see here that the laws were written in their hearts. It was a different time. There's no indication anywhere from the Scriptures that we have that the Gentiles, even down to the time of Christ, ever recognized or held hallow a Sabbath day. That brings us to the second term. The second religious system had its beginning in about 1500 B.C., of course, when God gave the old law or the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was directed to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites. This was never a law that was ever given to the Gentile nations. Psalms 147:19-20 tells us that. This covenant was enforced down to the time of the death of Christ. It stayed in until the death of the Christ when the new covenant came into effect. The covenant applied only to the Jews and was not to the Gentiles. Leaves us the third time frame, the third religious system, which was the new law, had its beginning just after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He ascended to heaven. He ascended back to the Father. He sat down on the throne of David at the right hand of his Father. And he began his reign at that time over his church or his kingdom. And we read about that in Acts 2. We remember that he sent, when he left, he promised the apostles and he sent the Comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit to come behind him. And as these apostles, and they worked and they began to put his testament or his covenant law into force, we see that this system fell into place for all men. There was no longer bond or free. There was no longer bloodlines. It was to all men of all nations and for all people. Matthew finishes up Jesus Christ making this very point very well in Matthew 28:18-20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So we see this system was sent, was this covenant applied to all men, everywhere, all nations. No boundaries were set. So when we understand these three time frames, it helps us to understand this issue of special days and us looking tonight at the two special days that we're going to look at. Let's look at the observance of the Sabbath by Israel. That was one special day that God did have in place for the Jews, for the Israelites, that He set in place. That Sabbath day was nothing new to God, because we know God, in Genesis 2:2-3, it was a special day to Him for rest. But in the man's eyes, it became observant to the Israelite nation when the covenant was given to them at Mount Sinai in Exodus 20:8-11. He said that Sabbath, when He gave that to the Israelites, He said that was going to be a sign between Him and Israel throughout all their generations. That was going to be a day, a special day between He and them. We see before this time that there's no command, no example. It's recorded for us of anyone keeping the Sabbath as a day of rest. As a matter of fact, Nehemiah 9:13-14 states that God made known to Israel His holy Sabbath when He gave that law or that covenant that He gave to them through Moses. So the question could be asked, when did God hallow or make holy the Sabbath? Did He hallow it at the end of creation when He created the world, Genesis 2:2-3, or did He hallow it when He gave it to Israel to keep? Well, it seems it was hallowed for God at the end of creation, wasn't it? Because He saw that all was good and He rested. But as Israel as a nation was to keep it as a hallowed day when God gave it to them on Mount Sinai in Exodus. There's no statement that I'm aware of anyway in Scripture that says that it was to be observed by Israel any time before that day at Mount Sinai, much less the whole world and the Gentile world before then. So we see it come into existence at Mount Sinai. This observance, if we remember, the Sabbath, observed by Israel, is tied with their deliverance. If you notice, God always gave these dates. He gave these ceremonies, these times, these months to remind them, to keep fresh in their mind the things that they needed to remember of Him. And this Sabbath was to remind them of their deliverance that they received from Him from the bondage of the Egyptians, from the slavery. So this Sabbath day reminded them every day of that. Just as God rested from His labor on that seventh day of creation, the Israelite nation rested that day and remembered the deliverance that they had from their slavery of the Egyptians. We're told of that was a reminder of their deliverance in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. So, we ask ourselves the questions after we've reviewed these points. Are Christians commanded to keep the Sabbath? Well, we know in today's world that there are those who do observe the Sabbath, but to Christians, where do we stand? There's no verse or scripture that commands anyone, Jew or Gentile, to keep the Sabbath after the death of Christ. There's nothing there. Jesus was a Jew Himself. I think naturally today you will find the Jews who are unconverted to Christianity. The Seventh-day Adventists, you find these people who do observe the Sabbath. But you can't read about that in God's Word as instruction to His people or His church. You remember Paul and all the apostles, really, when they took the Word out into the Gentile world and out into the world and to the Jews. Remember one of the first places that they always targeted when they went somewhere? They first went to the synagogues, didn't they? They sought out those Jews because they were God. They knew God. And so we know that as they sought these Jews out, they went to these synagogues, and that would have been on the Sabbath day because that's when the Jews would have been there on that day. And they were going there for the purpose to convert them. But there's no commandment for Christians, God's Word, to observe this Sabbath day. Just some little tidbits of information on the word Sabbath. It was noted in one source that I looked at that the Sabbath occurs some 60 times in the New Testament. 43, which is a little over two-thirds of those times, are in connection with the life of Jesus Christ. We understand that, don't we? Jesus was a Jew, wasn't He? He was born under the law. Look at Galatians 4. Should have had Ethan back up and just got all this, shouldn't we? Galatians 4:4-5. It says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Christ was born under the law. to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So we see here that Jesus was born under the law. Look at Matthew 5, back up to there. Matthew 5, 17 and 18. We see here that not only was he born under the law, but he kept the law. He observed the Sabbath day. Chapter 5, Matthew 17 and 18. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So until he fulfilled that old law, it was still in place. He was still under that. It was still there in force. The word Sabbath occurs another 17 times following the death of Christ. 16 of those times, they refer to the worship of unconverted Jews. Makes sense, don't it? That's when the Jew would be meeting. The other time that's left over, it's telling the Christians not to keep it. Look at Colossians 2:16. Colossians 2:16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. We see here that the Christians were not to be involved in that or caught up in that. This recognizing these dates and times and months. Jesus nailed all these ordinances, all these old law, all of that was nailed to the cross when He died for our sins. They're no longer binding upon anyone. So we can make the point today, when we start looking at special days, do Christians have a special day? Of course we do. We have a special day, don't we? We have a special day that we come together, don't we, and worship. The Sabbath, as a day of rest, was done away with the Old Covenant. Jeremiah 31:31-34. Also Hebrews 8. It's quoted in Hebrews 8. So let's read Hebrews 8. 6-13. But now he has ordained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, and I'll write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that he says, A new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. A new covenant has been given in place of this. A new covenant that applies to all men to come under. There's a new day for the Christian to consider as special. I know the world sees many days to celebrate, especially in the religious world. We set times in man's mind on Christmas, on the birth of Christ, on all these other instances, but we're not given those of God. Those are times and things that man has came up with. But God does give us this day to consider special to us. It was the first day of the week. It was the Sunday, wasn't it? That's when they met for worship. Not as a day of rest like the Sabbath was. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 25. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. And Acts 20 through 7 talks about their coming together on that first day of the week. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 10:25 warned them to not forsake this gathering together and this coming together of them on the first day of the week. Why have a special day for Christians? We know in times past they met daily, they talked daily, but we have a special day that's set aside when we see and review the examples that are given us of the observance of the Lord's Supper, the gathering together, the praying, the teaching, the giving of their means. Why have a special day for Christians? Well, just as the Sabbath reminded those of the old law and the Jews of that deliverance that they had from that Egyptian bondage, we have this every week, first day of the week. We have this remind us to us of the deliverance that we have from the bondage of sin, where Christ has came in, the new covenant has come into effect, a new one that brings us all in together as man. And we can take comfort and hope in what He did for us, and that we can have deliverance from this sin through His shed blood that He gave us on the cross. We do this primarily when we gather around the Lord's table, as we're given an example in Acts 20 and verse 7. We know that they came together to do that. It's a reminder of us of the great event, the great price that paid for the sins of us, for our salvation. And this event is so special to us that we remember this on that special day, every first day of the week. And even more so meaningful is the reassurance and all that we get of Jesus' resurrection. Because after all, that's what makes that all work, is His resurrection. There was others who were crucified. There was others who were raised from the dead. We studied about that and heard that this morning. But Jesus Christ was the only perfect Son of God that came to earth, lived perfectly, gave us example of life, gave us instruction, died without sin, and shed His precious blood for us, and then arose from the dead to be our Creator, or to be our King, our Head of the Church. He was raised on this first day of the week from the dead. And His resurrection is our assurance that someday for us, we have that resurrection to look forward to also in the way of eternal life. Look at John 5. John 5, 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice. We read that this morning. And come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Just as Christ proved to us His divine nature through His resurrection, we have that resurrection of eternal life to look forward to, just as He did. The first sermon was preached on Sunday. The first response was on Sunday. The church had its beginning on the first day of the week. There's all kinds of evidence in God's Word that we come together. All kinds of evidence, example of the first day of the week that we are to come together. It's that special day. There's even, for those who like to study history, not divine by any means, but just the recordings of historians, of early Christians or whatever, uninspired recordings. One was from Ignatius. He said, one of his quotes, "No longer observing the Sabbath, but living according to the Lord's day." The writer Justin said, "And on the day called Sunday, there is a gathering together in the same place of all who live in a city or a rural district. We all make our assembly in common on the day of the sun, since it is the first day." And Tertullian, writer, says, "Others suppose that the sun is the God of the Christians because it is well known that we regard Sunday as a day of joy. To us, Sabbaths are foreign." So those are just writers, uninspired writers. But we see overwhelming evidence throughout God's Word that He has left us with a special day. A special day that accomplishes exactly what everybody else's special days that they set aside accomplish. That one special day was the observant in conclusion, was the observant of the Sabbath by the Jew, and it was connected to those two important events, wasn't it? Creation of the world and the deliverance of themselves from the Egyptian bondage. That second special day that God has given to us is this first day on the week that we meet together, and that we observe the things that He has given us. This first day that's also connected to two great events, just as the Sabbath was. We're remembered of the great events of the Lord's death for our redemption, and we know from after His death, His resurrection that occurred from that. We remember this every first day of the week. Today was a day that the world came together, that many came together with the church who may not be there any other time to recognize this resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we know these things and contemplate these things every first day because that's our special day that God gave us. It's the Sunday, the first day of the week. He didn't give us a Christmas. He didn't give us an Easter. He didn't give us these other things. But He gave us the first day of the week. And that's what we recognize. And we come together for that. That Sabbath was only a temporary thing that was given to the Jewish nation alone. It was a sign that no longer exists because God's chosen people are encompass everyone today. Many of the Jews, as we were told in Romans 11, 7 through 21, were cut off anyway because of their refusal to accept Christ, because of their unbelief. They've been cut off. The old covenant with the Sabbath has been abolished. It's been nailed to the cross, Hebrews 8:13 and Colossians 2:14. We as Christians are to respect and to worship God in a special way on the special first day of the week. That's our day that God gives us. When we fail to do so, then we cause our souls to be cut off as well. Today was a day that many in the world remembered that resurrection of Jesus Christ. We look back every first day of the week when we gather around the table, and I think sometimes we have to be careful that we never let things become common to us, because it's so special that God wanted us to remember this every first day of the week, the things that we come together for. We can't let those things become common. We talked about a hope that we have. We talked about that resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope that He gave us of a resurrection. And we read about that resurrection, and we were told that for those who have obeyed Him and followed Him, it's going to be a day of eternal life from then on. It's going to be unmatched. We can't even imagine how great that's going to be. But for those who are unprepared and who are unknowing, it's going to be a day that begins an eternal torment that you can never escape. I think we don't give that enough gravity sometimes when we contemplate our end. We're physical beings that see an end to everything. We can't see past a physical world hardly. It's very hard for us to do that. And I think many today feel that just as they can take their own life or lose their life here and see an end, they don't recognize the eternity that waits before where there is no end. I think if people were more in tune with that and realized that torment awaits those who do not obey or who do not wait, who do not know God. And there's no end to that. There's no escape to that. That's an eternal thing. I think if they thought more on those things, it would mean more. Please think on those things. If you've never considered that, we don't know a time or a day. We pray every time we come together, we start every service off with our prayers for our sick. We've seen our brothers and our sisters pass on. Tammy and I have watched her father-in-law become ill. We don't know life We could all leave before anybody else. We have no assurance of life. We can't afford to gamble and not be prepared. Those things will get us. We have to be ready for these things. If you're here tonight and you've never made that preparation in your life, if something were to happen, and it does every day, you've not made preparation. God's very clear that if you don't know Him, if you've not obeyed Him, you have nothing to look forward to but that eternal life of damnation. But everything's ready here tonight. We have everything prepared. Everything's in place. We're told that if we hear, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that we're willing to confess that before men and repent of our ways, turn our lives around, be aware. I don't care how good a person you are, when you obey, you've got to turn around. There's a repentance that has to take place. And we follow God in obedience to Him. We can be baptized. We have everything in order, everything in place. At baptism, you're buried, as we talked about this morning, with Jesus Christ. And when you're raised from that water, you receive the remission of your sins, and you find yourself in a state that you can be with God. You have, just as Christ died and resurrected to eternal life, you have that same option to arise for eternal life. That's what we offer you tonight. If you're here and you've already done that, special days when we come together. Maybe today was a special day. You've not been around in a while, but your mind is working. Bring these things up in your mind. Weigh them out. Think about it. Where am I at in my life? Weigh yourself in the balance to God's Word. We're here to encourage you or to help you in any way that we can. If we can help you in any way, we ask you to make your way forward as we stand and as we sing.